Democrats are working to secure enough votes for a new tax on the very, very wealthy. Under 1,000 of the richest Americans would see taxes on unrealized earnings, like stocks, for example, before they're sold and the money is actually made. The biggest hit would come to about the top 10 wealthiest Americans. Supporters say it would help pay part of the roughly $2 trillion in new spending on social policy and climate initiatives. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi told CNN over the weekend that the tax, as proposed, would actually be a relatively small part of the funding.
We probably will have a wealth tax, but again, it's only 10% of what we need. The other things are more like $800 billion versus $200 billion. But we can use them another time. They don't go away as a source of revenue to pay for how we go forward.
Republicans and some tax experts say the idea could be unconstitutional and that it might have unintended consequences, including for those who aren't very wealthy. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think? Is a new tax in some form on the richest Americans a good idea? Should we be taxing increases in wealth, even if they haven't been converted into actual money? Does it make more sense to raise corporate or individual tax rates instead? Or is raising any taxes on anyone a bad idea? Maybe the spending plan you think ought to be scrapped? What questions do you have? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. David Primo is the Ani and Mark Gabrielian Professor and Professor of Political Science and Business Administration at the University of Rochester. David, welcome back to the show.
Oh, it's great to be back with you.
There's a lot of moving parts here and plans are changing from moment to moment. I want to start out with some of the basics. When we use the phrase a wealth tax, what exactly do we mean by that?
Yeah, I agree that things are moving by the minute here. And I sort of came on with some trepidation because this new proposal is really a moving target.
Right.
When we traditionally have heard the term wealth tax in recent years, it has been a set of proposals by liberals and Democrats that would assess the wealth of taxpayers every year. And for the wealthiest taxpayers, they would essentially pay a tax on their net worth each year. And that's different from what's being proposed in the current budget bill, which Nancy Pelosi and others have also called a wealth tax. But that tax is really a tax on what are called unrealized capital gains. So stocks that you haven't sold yet and you've got some gains on them, the government wants to now tax potentially those gains before you've actually sold the stock. But let me go back to the initial idea of the wealth tax. The initial idea of the wealth tax that's been proposed in the past couple of years was, again, we want to make sure that the argument would be we want to make sure the wealthiest Americans are contributing their fair share, would be the argument, to contributing to the tax coffers. And so to do that, because the belief is that the wealthiest taxpayers have the ability to avoid taxation in ways that the average American doesn't, we're going to assess their wealth every year, and that's going to be a lot harder than to avoid taxation.
Now, what do you think of the concept in principle? Yeah.
There are serious constitutional issues with that concept. There are serious operational concerns with that concept. But at the very least, I will say, at least you can conceptually understand how it might operate. I have a very different perception of the current proposal that's in the budget negotiations right now, which is to tax unrealized capital gains.
Right.
That proposal, the proposal that's currently being considered, seems like something that was drummed up at the 11th hour to appease the necessary Democrats to get enough support to have it pass the Senate. It is not particularly a well thought out proposal. There are a lot of complexities to it. There will be a lot of complexities to the wealth tax, but it makes more sense, frankly, than this current proposal, which would tax unrealized capital gains. And we can get into some of the details in a minute, but the bottom line is there's a lot of uncertainty about exactly how it would be implemented. And again, as with the wealth tax, there's a lot of uncertainty about whether or not it's actually constitutional.
Yeah, breaking down how that might work. So I've started this vast high-tech company, and I've had myself paid with a lot of shares in stock as opposed to just money. This unrealized gain tax, if my Robco stocks went up this year, I would be taxed based on how much they went up, even if I didn't go and sell those stocks, which is usually what I'd have to do to get them taxed. Do I have that about right?
That is about right. But let's get into this. Let's get into this example a little bit. So the first, you'd have to be you'd have to have earned over $100 million for 3 years in a row, or have over $1 billion in wealth for this tax to apply to you. So the idea is this is going to apply to the richest of the rich.
Right.
So let's suppose you're in that you're in that camp.
Robco's doing great.
So
yeah.
Exactly. You know, and the way it would work at that point is that somebody, right, let's say that this is a privately held company. So if you've got stocks out there, then it's pretty easy to estimate your gains. But let's suppose that you're a privately held company, meaning you're not, you don't sell your shares on the public exchanges. How do we know that your company went up by that much in value? Who's going to determine what the value of a privately held company is? And, you know, just looking down the game tree, as an economist would say, what's going to happen is the IRS is going to say, well, we think your Robco's done really well, and your company's worth $100 million more this year. And you're going to say, well, no, I'm going to hire some tax lawyers to show you actually, no, this company's only gone up in value by $10 million this year. And so this is just going to spawn, let's say that about 700 taxpayers are subject to this tax, it's going to spawn 700 lawsuits and battles over exactly how much is owed. That's the first problem with this is operationally.
Talking to David Primo with the University of Rochester, looking at the idea of some form of wealth type tax on wealthier Americans, and a particular Democratic proposal right now in the ongoing negotiations over infrastructure and human services investment for a tax on unrealized gains. So you were saying that was the first problem, David. The operational one? You mentioned the constitutional problems. Anything else leaping to your mind?
Yeah, we could spend an hour on this. So the next problem that you're going to face is, so now you've got these battles with the IRS and sort of figuring out exactly how we're going to measure the gains of privately held companies. But then you've got a third problem, which is that the government cannot be, you can't believe politicians when they say that, oh, but this is only going to apply to the wealthiest Americans, because this is also what was said about the income tax when it was instituted in the early 1900s. What's going to happen is the government, if this does actually work, so let's say they work out the operational concerns and the constitutional concerns, now all of a sudden you've set a precedent for taxing unrealized capital gains. And you can imagine that all of a sudden the definition of what is wealthy will continue to be ratcheted down until it affects a wide swath of Americans, because this is going to be an irresistible revenue source for elected officials. So why would they need the extra revenue? Because the fact is, as Nancy Pelosi hinted at in the clip that you played at the outset, this is, quote, only going to raise $250 billion dollars over 10 years, I believe, is the estimate. And that is just a drop in the bucket compared with the hundreds of trillions of dollars of debt that the country is going to take on in the next 30 to 40 years. So it may be politically popular to say we're going to tax the wealthy, but the reality is, to actually cover the costs of our long-run obligations with Social Security, with Medicare, put aside the new proposals for spending that are in this budget, just to pay our existing obligations is going to take a massive amount of revenue. And so this could be sort of a way to introduce the idea of saying we're now going to tax investments in an entirely different way, and that's going to change the relationship between Americans and the government with respect to investment, and that could have really negative effects on the U.S. economy.
I want to give a listen to Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen on CNN here on Sunday.
I wouldn't call that a wealth tax, but it would help get at capital gains, which are an extraordinarily large part of the incomes of the wealthiest individuals. And right now, escape taxation until they're realized.
So big picture, is there some of the argument that these wealthiest Americans would be affected by the current proposal are getting away with something, that there should be a way to tax them more, or no?
You know, you can make the argument that you know, maybe there should be some sort of minimum contribution you need to make to the U.S. government each year, you know, once you have a certain amount of wealth, right? You could potentially make that argument. And in some sense, that's why you could make the claim about the wealth tax, right, being a way to get at those concerns about fairness. The issue when you're starting to tax tax capital, unrealized capital gains, is unlike a wealth tax or let's say even a head tax, where we're going to tax everybody in the country who makes, you know, who has a certain amount of wealth, $1 million a year. Right? That's not going to change behavior because, right, you pay it just by virtue of your existence. But a change in how you tax capital gains will change behavior in ways that are actually problematic for the economy. So it's not as though the money that is in those, that is in the, that is in some sense inside those stocks that you own, those unrealized gains, that is not money that you necessarily, right, have earned in the sense of income, because that stock could become worthless tomorrow, could drop in value by 20% tomorrow. And so to tax it, right, will create potentially perverse incentives where you're going to be forced, if you're a small business owner, maybe to have to sell part of your business off or sell shares in your business in order to cover the taxes. Or you're going to be thinking about, well, should I be investing in this endeavor if I think that I'm going to now have to pay a tax hit, so I'm not going to be able to plan for the future in the same way? So it's going to shift how people think about what they're doing when they're investing in stocks for the long run, or investing in their companies in the long run, or being entrepreneurs in the long run. And, you know, even Democrats who are in favor of ensuring that the wealthy pay more in taxes are kind of sort of looking at this with quizzical look, saying, why are we creating this convoluted system for taxing the wealthiest Americans? There's got to be a better way to do this. And, put another way, if you as an American went to a financial planner and said, hey, I've got this great idea for how I'm going to raise revenue in the next 10 years, and it had all of these flaws in it, right? It's potentially unconstitutional, that you don't actually have a plan for how you're actually going to value companies and so on, that all of the details still need to be worked out, the financial planner would say, well, you really need to come back with a better sense of where you're headed, right? This doesn't make any sense. And that's sort of my perspective on this proposal. Even if you believe, and again, I think this is crucial, even if you believe that we need to have the wealthiest Americans pay more in taxes, it's hard for me to construct a more convoluted way to accomplish that goal.
We're talking about the Democrats' proposed wealth-style tax on billionaires, especially on unrealized gains from stocks and other things, with David Primo from the University of Rochester. You can join in with your thoughts and questions at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see some kind of tax on the very wealthiest Americans, additional tax, a wealth-based tax, for example? What do you think of this particular plan we've been talking about to say, if your stock values, for example, go up, we're going to tax you on the gains for that, for the wealthiest Americans? Join in at 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about Democrats' plan to help pay for a roughly $2 trillion spending bill that would cover big social policy and climate initiatives, focusing on one funding mechanism, a plan to create a new tax on the investment incomes of billionaires and certain corporations, hoping to finalize plans this week. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, not a fan of the idea. Here's a listen to what he had to say on the Senate floor yesterday.
They're now proposing to tax money the American people haven't even made yet. Yes, you heard me right. So much for the quaint idea that you had to actually make money first before the IRS could tax it. Now Democrats want to tax money you haven't made yet.
Our guest is David Primo from the University of Rochester. He says, if you want to tax the wealthy more, this probably isn't the way to do it. Let's go to your calls now at 800-642-1234. Tasha is with us in Madison. Tasha, hi.
Hi. I definitely think the comments Senator McConnell made are just absurd. Like, the vast majority of Americans, it's not you, it's not us. He talks about it as if it's like the vast majority of us are investing. That is not an opportunity most people have in the United States because of vast income inequality. I absolutely agree with taxing wealthy Americans at a higher rate. We've done it in the past, and I think it's necessary given the amount of value they take from workers and from public tax items like highways and roads and infrastructure that they utilize every day for their businesses. I appreciate this conversation, but I also get really frustrated that it isn't the topic of where can we take money from is not brought up. We just approved a $740 billion budget for defense funding, and that was up $25 billion than what the Pentagon asked for. I would like to know why I'm not hearing Speaker Pelosi and Senator Schumer talk about where we can take money out of when we're spending billions of dollars basically terrorizing the rest of the world, and that money could go to spending on social programs, on housing, on healthcare. We could institute universal healthcare. So I really would like to hear less about how we can raise taxes and more about where we can take money from that we are already spending incredibly irresponsibly and unethically, in my opinion.
Tasha, thanks for the call. David Tasha with thoughts on both sides of the equation, income and spending. Anywhere you want to take that?
Yes, I mean, there's some important sentiments being expressed there. One is the idea that, you know, again, this is the belief, right? The wealthy should pay more in taxes. And I would go back to even many Democrats and liberals in the Senate and the House believe that there are better ways to accomplish that goal, right? So let's suppose we agree on the ends, increasing taxes on the wealthy. There are better approaches than taxing unrealized capital gains. The means is not really appropriate or unlikely to be as effective. The proposal that was on the table, which was to increase the marginal tax rate on income, as we currently define it, has been sort of put off the table because, again, of opposition from moderate Democrats. On the spending side, the concern there, right, is about defense spending and whether defense spending is too high. The reality, though, and this is where I think budget discussions get difficult, the reality is that even if you cut the defense budget basically to in half, right, that's not going to do much of anything to deal with the long run problems that we face with Social Security and Medicare. So what is actually driving our budgetary problems for the next 20 to 30 to 40 years is not defense. It is Social Security, it is Medicare, it is social programs. Now that's not to say, right, those social programs shouldn't remain in place, they shouldn't remain strong, but it is to say we need to be aware that to deal with, right, the fiscal problems that we face in the national debt, we need to address social programs. Defense is not going to be is not going to cut it, so to speak, right? But that doesn't mean, right, that you might not say that we still should have a cut in defense spending on moral grounds or on ethical grounds. But that's very different from saying that the reason we need to have it is because it's going to help deal with our budget problems. It's not going to make a dent really in the budget problems that the country faces.
Thanks for the call, Tasha. We'll go to Mike now in St. Lawrence. Mike, hi.
Hey, yeah, my question is, I've listened to the conversation so far, and what is your guest solution to solving this problem? As I told your screener that, I mean, Jeff Bezos is the richest man in the world, yet he got a child tax credit last year because he didn't have enough, he didn't pay any income taxes. My question is, how do we fix that, that these people that are multi-billionaires pay some taxes and help the country out?
Mike, thanks for the call. David?
Again, one proposal would be to increase the marginal tax rate that is levied on particularly high incomes. Now, again, you could argue, well, for somebody like Jeff Bezos, maybe he doesn't have any income on the books because his sole source of revenue is from taking loans out on the value of his Amazon stock or something like that, and so that's the problem. But again, that would at least be one way to get a much broader base of tax revenue from a much wider share of Americans. I think the problem is that we're focused on the 700 very wealthy Americans, but all this is, you know, this proposal is only going to raise, quote unquote, again, only $250 billion over 10 years. That's not a big amount of money in a multi-trillion dollar budget. So the reality is that if you're going to raise, if your concern is that the wealthy are not paying their fair share, this isn't going to make a large share of wealthy Americans pay more in taxes. It's only going to affect, again, the very wealthy. And I guess I would make, this might be, you know, this may be just a difference of opinion in terms of the role of entrepreneurs in our society. But I would argue that that the contributions that billionaires like Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk have made to American society are far greater than the wealth that they personally own. So if you think about the changes in the world that we've seen from companies like Amazon, from companies like Tesla, right? Those are because of the entrepreneurial drive of those individuals, and the country is far better off in terms of those companies being in existence, right, than had they not existed. And so the notion that that billionaires have not contributed sufficiently to American society may be missing the fact that they're, the reason that they are, that these particular individuals that always get the attention, the reason they are billionaires is because they fundamentally transform the world. Now, again, the listeners may disagree with that perspective, but I just wanted to throw that out there as something to consider.
Thanks for that call. And David, thanks again for joining us today.
Oh, it was my pleasure.
That's David Primo, professor of political science and business administration at the University of Rochester. We talked to them about the Democrats' plans for new taxes on billionaires. The move is aimed to help pay for President Biden's social services and climate change package. We focused on at least one current proposal on the table related to taxing unrealized gains on things like stock investments.